no one wants to talk about mental health. It's always something where someone wants to change the subject real quick because we're not comfortable talking about it. We need to get more open, making it, letting people know it's okay to say you're not feeling well or you need some help, and not trying to hide that and bury our feelings. Just like farmers and firemen and cops, you got to be tough, right?
So you're saying the most fun thing that you've auctioned off in a competition is some Victoria's Secret lingerie.
Well, a gift card at least.
Oh. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Farm for Fun podcast, a happy hour spinoff of the Farm for Profit podcast. These episodes are hosted by Tanner Winteroff, the Iowa Bankerman, David Whitaker, the Iowa Land Guy, and a random farmer named Corey. Each episode, they plan to focus on a brewery or distillery while talking about all current events and everything else. Crack a beer, mix a drink, and join on the fun. Remember, if you aren't farming for fun, we know
you probably wear your mask in the car by yourself.
And welcome back to not just another Farm for Fun show of the Farm for Profit podcast. This is Tanner Winteroff.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
Like I said, Farm for Fun show. This is the episode that is alternating from our Profit show. So if you are rolling into this one from another one in the queue, Profit show has a What's Working in Ag segment, a general topic to help your farm achieve higher levels of profitability, and then a challenge and a summary. The Farm for Fun show is where we pick somebody in agriculture, or at least related to the industry, have some conversation about them, talk about current events, and enjoy a couple of beverages. So that's what we're here today to do, Corey.
Yeah, and it really feels like we're sitting in a pub having happy hour today because it smells like beer. We're starting 12 minutes late.
That's what happens when you spill beer all over the podcast table.
All because of my fault.
Have you seen these new top cutter offer things that you...
Yeah, we got one of those draft tops, and I took it off on my beer. I went to the bathroom before the podcast. I come back in here, forgot it, and my finger just tapped the can, and boy, does it get rid of the beer quickly.
Not only can you drink a beer faster with a draft top, you can also spill it faster.
So it's got the feel.
That's really good. But listeners, we really appreciate your time. We know that there are a million of podcasts out there that you could be listening to, and you chose to listen to this one. So we greatly appreciate that and welcome you to the Farm for Profit family. Thank you. And do me a favor right now. Stop. And wherever you're listening, leave us a review. Hit the 5 stars. Okay. Maybe 4. Whatever you feel is deserving.
If you're not going to hit 5, don't hit a button. Just don't.
No, those ratings and reviews go a long ways. And we want to share one with you. We had a review from Dave DeVries at Zeldenrust Farm. Said, great podcast again. One question. One of the reasons for the increased imports to China is the rebuilding of their hog herd to before ASF levels, how come they weren't importing more before? So I like this because it wasn't just a, hey, you're doing a good job, but he actually listened to the podcast. So if you're curious about the answer to this, Dr. Zhang talks about it in the next episode in the queue. So thank you, Dave, for leaving us a review and a comment. We appreciate that. It allows us to do some interaction with our audience. How are you guys doing, Dave? Corey?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I listened to last week's podcast, the Farm for Fun one anyway, and apparently I got in a fight with Easton Corbin, which was pretty awesome. I broke my foot and had some surgery on it, so glad to be back and be an instrumental voice on the Farm for Fun podcast.
We finally got the band back together.
You seem to be getting around pretty good.
Yeah. Don't tell the doctor. I'm supposed to be on crutches yet. Oh.
That is true Dave style.
That is. And I've had a busy week. We just got rid of a group of hogs, and... You know, the one thing worse about having hogs is not having hogs in between groups because you got to fix everything that they broke. And when you got old barns, that's all you do. So that's all I've been doing this week. That's all I'm going to do next week. So fun stuff.
I saw you pressure washing on TikTok. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Why don't we jump right into who we've got coming in, Corey? What do you say? I know I'm not any good at these intros, and you already fired Dave from ever doing them again.
So it's a long one. Let's do it. Today on the Mullet of Ag podcast, we are taking a break from the GameStop debacle and what seems to be an injustice on Wall Street. We are traveling a couple hours west to have some deep conversations with a man that has seemed to fall into our lives at just the right time. This man is a military veteran, former firefighter, husband, father, and skilled woodworker. He has a blog and is deeply focused on shedding light onto one of ag and society's most taboo topics, We discovered him on the Twitterverse advocating for mental health and agriculture. But we are truly staying for his daily jokes about his wife. He is none other than Mr. Henry Hank Wade.
Woo, all right.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you all?
We're doing good. Yeah. We're doing, especially now that you're here.
Yeah, man. This is the perfect timing for this episode. Like I think when I said you fell into our lives at the exact right time, I think in your mental health warrior advocate, I think this time for me personally in the farming world, it's slower. It's cold outside.
Shorter days.
I get down in this time. It's January, February time frame, and so I can't think of anybody better to have on than you. So, without going too deep into that, give us a background about yourself, Hank.
So I was born and raised in Northern California, about 60 miles north of San Francisco. And I grew up there, and my dad was a firefighter. And I joined the fire department at the age of 16 and then went in the military and got stationed out here in Offutt Air Force Base in Bellevue, Nebraska, and met my wife and got married and been here. So I was a volunteer firefighter in the city of Bellevue for a number of years. And then eventually in 2013, I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and asthma, and that took me out of the firefighting game. So I spent a couple years in some pretty deep down times and depression of trying to figure out who I was. That firefighting was my identity, and I lost that. And I started doing some woodworking and started listening to some podcasts. And through these podcasts is how I healed myself and kind of come around and learned a lot about agricultural and mental health and decided I wanted to get into advocating for that.
That's interesting. So Dave was a former firefighter as well.
I feel your pain because I just retired after years and years and years, 18 years as a career firefighter, and changed into more agriculture just like yourself. And I miss it every day. I tell you what, like you say, throwing on an SCBA or just the camaraderie, it's crazy.
Yeah. The only thing I miss now, or don't miss, is as I get older, you know, you see these fires at 3 a.m. in the middle of the desert. And like, oh, or it's 100 degrees outside and them guys are out there working away at, you know, that stuff. But yeah, you definitely miss the old buddies around the firehouse. And a lot of that helped probably why I never really had problems with mental health until I got older, or until out of the fire department, was always had people there to talk to. Mm-hmm. Once that was gone, you know, I was out on the outside and it just felt really weird. And so, definitely miss some of that.
I didn't realize that, Hank, until I retired, is how much we talked every day. You know, we always said, hey, we're family. You know, we show up every third day at the fire station. And they, I honestly think those guys that I spent a third of my life with know more than my wife does about the things I like, where I am, just because you're there 24/7 with them and they share stuff with you. At least on the career side, that's the way it was. And so now, you know, I vented to them. I told them, you know, crazy stuff. And now I see I taken it out on my wife at home. Now she gets the blunt of that. So if I think something was, you know, crazy, and, you know, we make fun, we everything. So it is an outlet that you didn't, I never thought about until just now.
Yeah. And you get invited to, you know, when their kids, you watch their kids grow up, their kids get married or have birthdays, you get invited to those parties and celebrations and you feel included. So it's not just a firefighting aspect, it's all the family stuff. And especially when you're a volunteer, you know, we would do things like the certain holidays, we would staff the station. So mm-hmm. New Year's Eve, always a high potential. You're going to get some kind of call come in. So we would have host parties down there. And that way the stations were always ready to go when we got the door faster.
You know, all the things after hours you do at the fire department, from, you know, Thanksgiving, you have your family over and everybody goes to the firehouse and whatnot. In the old days of firefighting, everybody talked about, you know, what do you guys do? What do you guys do at the fire station? Well, we sit around, drink beer and play cards. Well, that's kind of what we do on the podcast is sit around and drink beer. So Tanner, what's our first beer?
Yeah. So thanks to Dole Distributing, we've got a beer from Munich, Germany. So this is a Pauliner. Pauliner. Pauliner is the name of the beer. A few factors to their success locally and internationally, more than 2 million hectoliters leave the brewery each year.
That's a lot.
How much is a hectoliter? If it's anything like a hectacre, that's a whole bunch of beer.
Hector.
Did you guys send Hank beer?
We did. Yes.
He's got beer. I'll look up hectoliter.
No snowstorm could keep us from getting beer his way. So, Hank, why don't we start off with the Hefeweizen? So that would be the one that looks like it's got a tree growing around the top brim of it. So this is the Paulaner. Since 1634, the Hefeweizen, a Munich wheat beer.
What's your wife's name so I don't have to call her your wife every time?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Tracy.
Tracy. Okay. Is Tracy around? Is she trying some beers?
No. She's downstairs. She runs a daycare out of our basement.
Oh.
And so she got about an hour. She usually wraps up about 5:30 in the afternoon.
There was a time that I thought about starting a daycare just because I was farming. We had pigs. And in my eyes, it was almost like just farming kids.
Herding pigs.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the same like similarities besides sending them off to the market.
So I can't believe how quiet it is in your background if you have your wife running a daycare.
Yeah, well, they're downstairs and I'm upstairs.
I see. So you went from California and now you're in Nebraska. Is that right?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in California, lived there for 19 years, and then that's when I went in the Air Force. I actually started going to junior college to be a diesel mechanic, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So a buddy of mine was in the Air Force, and he said, hey, it's simple. You know, it's a lot easier than going in the Army and the Marine Corps. Those are like real troops.
Those are like real troops.
Yeah. We play a little tennis and badminton and so forth. And, so I went in the Air Force, and this was back in 1992 when I started signing up. And computers weren't a big thing yet, so the recruiter says, I got this computer job. You're going to get there. You're going to work on the latest and greatest technology. And I thought, that's the wave of the future. So I went to Texas, went down to San Antonio. You spend 6 weeks there. Then I go over to Biloxi, Mississippi for a few months, and then I landed here at Offutt. And I get here, and the computer mainframe was like older than I was. It was like a 1969 mainframe, so new technology of mine, you know, whatever happened to that. But anyways, met a local girl, and she was from Nebraska. And I got married on my three-year anniversary of the Air Force.
Women, that'll do it. They'll keep you wherever you're at. They'll keep you.
Grounded you.
All right, let's try the Hefeweizen. So, guys, bottoms up. Let me know what you think.
Whoa.
That is a full flavored beer.
What is that?
It's not the worst beer I've ever tasted.
That's some funk in there. It's not like it's not bittery like a hop. It's a Munich wheat beer.
I like it. It's got head.
It does have it. Yeah,
5.5% alcohol. I like their cans. They're like classic.
Hank, what do you think?
Yeah, no, it's real good. It's smooth. It didn't bite.
Yeah, I like this.
You know, we've been having a heck of a lot of IPAs lately, and this is, I would say, almost polar opposite.
It's a nice change of pace.
It's a little darker. It's got a almost an apple juice color to it, and I'm trying to pick up that it's got to be the wheat. It's a heavier flavor.
I know, being a beer snob, apparently, I think it's one of the best beers we've tasted here yet, to be quite honest. I think it's one of the best.
Brewed in Germany.
Yeah, it had that little, like, it's like aftertaste that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
So you were in the Air Force, and then you came over to Omaha, and you met your wife, and then were you still were you still firefighting at that time?
Yes. So I started off in California as a firefighter, and then I took some time off while I was going to basic training in the military and got stationed here. And a guy I worked with, we got to talking one night. He said, hey, Bellevue has a volunteer fire department. You should join. And at that time, Bellevue had some requirements. They used to not let military guys in because we were always shipping out every so many years. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to spend much money training yet, and then off you go. So you had to be in the area, I think, 18 months before you could apply. So I applied and got accepted and joined there in 1996. And then, so I actually was in the fire department before I even met my wife.
Okay.
And then got married. So we did the fire department thing. And then in 2010, we actually switched from full volunteer to what was called a paid part-time program. It's modeled after a fire department in Minnesota where they started paying us to staff the station. So I've been working a regular job during the day. And then show up at the firehouse at 6 at night. So from 6 at night to 6 in the morning. So we could sleep in the nighttime. And then if there was a call, you'd get them to go. But that was no different than when you're a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And the reason we did that was we're a big city, you know, there's 50,000 people in Bellevue, and it was time to start, you know, getting people paid. The trucks, we're having a hard time getting the trucks out the door, which affects, you know, almost every fire department across the country these days. So it was time to do the transition, and so I was doing that 3 nights a week and working a regular job, and then I did that for 3 years, and then that's when I got sick and had to throw in the towel.
So where's the tie to agriculture? I missed it so far.
You haven't had it yet.
How'd you get into agriculture? Yeah.
So like I said, when I left the fire department, I was pretty down and depressed for a couple of years. And I got to a point where I had to figure something out to get myself happy because I was just miserable. You know, I wasn't a good father. I wasn't a great husband. I wasn't bad. You know, I didn't beat the kids or anything, but
that's good.
I wasn't the best. Yeah,
this is on record.
No, it's self. Good.
This is on recording, Hank. That's a good answer. Yes.
I didn't feel I was what they needed me to be, kind of thing. And so I have a shed in my backyard where I started doing some woodworking, making kind of some like the sign I made for you guys there. So I started doing that stuff. But when I was making woodworking, I needed something to listen to. So I got my phone out and I started listening to I can't do sports talk because I'm just not a big sports guy. You can't do news because it's just everything is horrible. So I stumbled across the rural radio on XM and started listening to people like Rob Sharkey and the ag science guys. And I've been exposed to agriculture throughout my life. My grandpa raised, you know, he lived in an apple orchard and he had horses and sheep and so forth. So I just found it really fascinating to start learning about agriculture. Everything from the science, listening to why do they put pesticide in a field or how does corn even grow, you know, and in the beef industry, there was so much stuff to learn. And so I found that the more I started learning about agriculture, the less I started forgetting about not being a fireman. And it kind of started making me happier. And then through the podcast is when I finally found, I started listening. So basically, there was an advertisement that Leslie Kelly, I don't know if you know who she is. She's a
friend of the show.
Yep.
Yeah. So she was going to be on a podcast with Ag State of Mind. And I thought, and I never heard of Ag State of Mind. So I thought, well, if she's going to be on it, then I need to listen to this show. And it was just phenomenal. And Jason does a lot of work for the mental health and the agricultural community. And so that's kind of what just sparked my interest. I just delved myself into agricultural world to take my focus off not being a firefighter, basically.
That's interesting. So when you're going through all this and you're realizing you're not happy and you're fine in agriculture and then it makes you happy, is this all self-diagnosed? Have you went to anybody for help at this point, or are you just realizing this on your own?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I kind of figured this out on my own by listening to these podcasts, people talking about their stories. Because I honestly thought this stuff that I was going through was just something it was only me. I had no idea that this is a pretty common problem for people when I made, you know. And Rob Sharkey kind of hit the nail on the head when he said, you take my story and you take a farmer and you swap the names. You take firefighter out, insert farmer. The story's really the same. You take a farmer that just lost his farm. I mean, what that guy goes through mentally is horrible. And it was kind of the same thing. If you're that's your identity, being a farmer. Now you're no longer a farmer. So that's kind of when that aha moment went off that there's other people. So now looking back, if I had known sooner that I could have gone help, I probably would have gotten help. But I always thought help was for those guys that, like, you're ready to take your own life. You're on the edge. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that you can actually just go get help. You don't have to be to that point where you're ready to die before you get help.
You know, this is interesting. Where I'm sitting now, so I just quit my fire department job 8 months ago, so it's just interesting. And I find myself wondering sometimes, did I make the right call? So I chose to leave the fire department to get into agriculture more heavy, because you need to focus on the one thing. And so I chose it, and there's days that, you know, I've been thinking now. So when I was a firefighter, I didn't think about the normal schedule, because firefighters have weird schedules.
Yep.
I didn't think about the normal schedule of people that are 8 to 5, corporate America. I was like, why does everybody, like, what's so special about Friday? Everybody waits for Friday to have a drink or everybody. Yeah. Like, that wasn't a thing. I just, every day was a day you work no matter what. If there was a snow day, you're a firefighter. You make it to the fire station. There are no snow days. There's nothing. And so now that I'm in more corporate America, even my thought process is like, man, this is somewhat depressing. Like this, yeah. this is.
I would say that's almost the same as like when you're in harvest.
Yeah.
Like you have, that's your main priority. You know what you have to do every day. Yeah. You might get rained out here. You might have a breakdown here, but that's what you do. And you kind of organize everything around that. You know, if something else comes up, well, I'll get to that next week make time for it or whatever. But then when like harvest is done, like that's like the fun time of the year, right? And then harvest is done. And then it's like back to reality of then you almost are like pulled in like 12 different directions.
So it almost like might be like, you know, everybody says find a job that you have fun doing and, you know, you don't feel like you work every day. Well, if you lost the job where you work every day that you, you know, have fun doing,
yeah,
then I think, like you said, Hank, you got to find something to replace it because otherwise you lost everything you have fun doing.
Yeah, you lose your sense
of purpose.
And
now it's just a job. Now it's just a normal job. So,
Well, that's, I think Corey and I and Dave have all said that about this podcast. I mean, it is an excuse for the three of us to get together, and the three of us would probably have gotten together, you know, if it wasn't for this. But we get to be here, have fun, talked about really cool people. And I want to go back to that sign that you made us, that wood, that piece of wood that you made of our logo, Hank. That is extreme. We are extremely appreciative of that. And I don't know if you realized it, but it hit at almost the perfect time.
Yeah.
I mean, Corey, Dave, and I all do this podcast on the side. We just got done battling the derecho and harvesting down corn in a harvest that was less than average. You know, probably Corey, I would argue it was probably one of the most stressful ones that I've gotten to be a part of.
Yeah.
Thankfully, our podcast was growing, but with that comes extra pressure. I mean, you couldn't have hit a better time with that logo to just kind of brighten it up and be like, yes, this is the reason we do this.
It's completely unexpected.
Yep.
And it's beautiful. It's hanging in my garage.
One of the things about the healing process for me was making signs for people and giving them as gifts just to see joy on someone's face. It makes me feel good to give someone something that, you know, I can do kind of thing. And that just, it helps me feel better about myself. And I go through some serious anxiety. I had to remake that sign like 3 times. I had some technical difficulties with it and I sanded that board down and redid it and then sanded it again and it didn't come out right. So it took a lot to get it through. And then you had to put the epoxy on it and that epoxy is so finicky. So
yeah,
it's a good lesson for me to get through it. So.
That's a good process to have. I mean, and it's just like giving gifts to someone else. You know, you feel good about it.
Yep. Every one of these episodes is a gift to you, listener.
While we're still on that, like when we started this podcast, I can tell, like right now, I would normally be pretty down, and I can still feel it a little bit. Like with it's just when the pigs hit, and that's all we got going. But I can tell, like this is my project, I guess. Right? Like this is my woodworking. Helps me out. So
yeah, making connections, making new friends. They don't have to be in your backyard. Don't have to be a neighbor.
Exercising my brain. Yeah. I think.
Well, yeah. I was going to go down a whole different route, and that's okay. What did you say earlier? You said he jokes about his wife all the time.
Okay, we'll get to that.
So Hank, I just opened the Munchner.
All right.
I don't know how to pronounce that. It's got the two little dots above the U. The Munchner Lager. The
copper can.
Yep. So the Polliner Munchner Lager. So why don't you go ahead and crack that one open, Hank, while I just finished pouring this out.
Original Munich Lager.
Pass that over to Dave. You're really good about looking at a can, Dave, and sharing its attributes. So, Hank, if you're ready, why don't we bottoms up on the Munchner Lager?
It's got a picture of like Abraham Lincoln. Looks like a penny on it.
That's really, really, really light.
Yeah, it is. Brewed in Germany, 4.9 alcohol volume, 1 pint.
Thank you, Dole Distributing. This is taking us outside of our regular box. This was a really good get, Hank. What do you think about this beer?
To me, it's a little more sharp than the other one, but it's kind of closer to an IPA flavor. But it's really good.
I'm not getting the aftertaste like that first one.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have the fullness of the wheat beer. It is lighter. Yeah. I get the IPA. I can see what you said by sharp, Hank. It is almost lemonade-y color.
This is what I think about when they're in that, what's that movie, that beer league or whatever.
Yeah.
They're chugging the Dosh Boot.
Yeah, Dosh
Boot. This is what I'm chugging in the Dosh Boot.
Yeah, this is a very light beer. I would probably, this is probably what they drink We drink a Bush Light, a Bud Light. They're probably drinking a lager as their light beer.
That's good.
Total assumption.
Yeah, it'd go good with some wings.
It'd go good with some wings.
Maybe you're making me hungry.
We need some food at the podcast.
That's right.
Tanner said he wanted to order some pizza.
Hey, we can still do it.
So well, I can just send like light signals over to Casey's. It's right across the street. One large.
All right, Dave.
Bring Bush Light.
You want to talk about Hank's wife?
I do. I'm kind of curious. I follow you on Twitter, and I haven't seen many of the jokes. So what? So allude more. What's the first your wife's name?
Tracy.
Tracy.
I got you. And doesn't that get you in trouble?
No.
No.
So. We used to do this a lot on Facebook, kind of razz each other, and then I kind of give up Facebook. But her and I kind of have this mentality that there's so much negativity on social media. And if you can be scrolling through and reading, you know, my dog's sick, my kid's sick, my wife's getting a divorce, whatever kind of thing, and you come across something funny, you know, it just breaks up the monotony. Something funny, something hilarious. So she's just like I am. If you can get someone to laugh at it, you know, even if it's laughing at me and not with me, you know, it's something different to read on social media than the normal depressing stuff.
Oh, so, people love it.
She knows. I mean, oh, yeah. You get a few people that, you know, I had one today. A guy was upset over something I said. But, I mean, you know, you can't please everyone. And it's hard.
It's funny because you always.
She understands.
You always have a picture of a lot of times associated with like the look that she's giving you. And it's like, I can't remember the exact words, but you're like something about jiggling her arm fat or something like that. Oh my God.
It's a look that we all get from our wives. Yeah. Just you're documenting it.
You're just documenting it.
It is so relatable.
Don't run for president because then it'll be documented.
I think he'd win.
Yeah.
Well, I had made the joke about Valentine's Day coming up and getting her some wrinkle cream kind of thing. So one of her gifts for Christmas was an Ulta gift card. So the next day she wanted to go to Ulta and she got stuff for her face, some kind of mask that like tightens up the skin or whatever. And so she's the one that came and said, "Hey, take a picture of this mask and put it on there." So that was her doing that. You know, a couple of people are upset. Like, how could you post that of your wife? Like, I wasn't going to. It was her.
I wasn't.
She put. Yeah, I wasn't that dumb.
Can I ask a question? You know, what's Ulta?
It must be a store. Is
Ulta that a Nebraska thing?
No, I think it's a franchise. It's a makeup. I can't think of another word besides makeup. It's a makeup store, right, Hank?
Yeah, they sell stuff for makeup and hair and nails boutique? And. All sorts of.
Told you this was an educational like podcast. All right. If you didn't know what Ulta was, listeners.
I kept trying to think of like Aldi's. Oh, like maybe that's the Nebraska Aldi's.
Nope, not a grocery store. Nope, I don't think so. Not a grocery store. The other thing, Hank, I want to attribute to, we put together a gift list, you know, what all farmers might like to have, what individuals might like to have before Christmas this year. And I still don't know how to say it. You enjoy cooking food with a new device that like boils food in a bag. What is that?
So it's called a sous vide.
Sous vide. So I kept saying it's a sous vide.
Yeah, it's spelled not like it sounds. And so what you do is you put your whatever you want to cook in there. So like pork chops. Let's say you take pork chops and you put them in there and you vacuum seal the bag. And the sous vide is a machine that circulates that water, and you set the temperature. So if you want that water to be 140 degrees, you set it there, and it will circulate that water, keep the water right at 140. You drop that meat in there, it will bring that meat and cook it up to 140 degrees, and then it just sits there, and will not get any hotter. And then when you're ready to eat it, you pull it out and then slap it on a hot grill because you have to sear it because otherwise you don't get the right texture. But slimy. A lot of big chain places like store a lot of big steakhouses do that with their steaks. They have them sit in those circulating baths, and the steak's already brought to a certain temperature. So when you order, you know, a New York strip, they pull it out of that bath. Then they only have to grill it for a few minutes to bring it up to the final temp and the sear you're outside.
I have always wondered how they did that. Time.
So it's probably – I mean, if it's sitting at, say, like a steak at like 125, you know, medium rare, it could probably sit there all day, right? Because like in that heat.
It's true.
I mean, not all day, maybe a longer time than one would think. Because nothing bacteria-wise is growing at that degree.
But I like that idea of being able to have it at ready to go temperature. And then you come home or spouse comes home or somebody walks in the house, just quick throw them on the grill, finish it up, and you're done.
Yeah, I could see it, you know, grill wise. If you like my new grill, if you had it on like 800 degrees and you slap it on there 1 minute aside, you're done.
Yeah. And I bet it'd be delicious. It's good food, isn't it, Hank?
Yeah, yeah. Since it's in that vacuum sealed bag, the moisture can't escape. So the meat stays really moist while you cook it versus, you know, I used to have a problem cooking pork chops on in the oven or whatever. They would dry out by the time you got them up to the operating temperature. And this keeps them nice and moist, and it works pretty well.
I think we need that on our merch page, moist. That's the drinking word of
the
day.
That's the drinking word. I was just going to say that. We didn't set up a drinking game today, but moist is the drinking word. So moisten your tongues.
Yes.
Yes, I like that. That's cool. I put it on there because it seemed to be really popular on the list, and I actually put it on my Christmas list and not get one. So now I'm going to have to go buy myself one because it sounds like something that I could put to use.
So let's go. You went through your process of getting into ag and finding your mental health is getting better. When did you start your blog?
So when I started learning about woodworking and agriculture, I kind of got to this level where I wasn't depressed anymore, but I was kind of in this medium twilight where I wasn't back to the old me. I didn't feel exactly happy. But again, I didn't know, maybe that's just what happens after a depression event. Maybe you never get back to normal. I didn't know what happened. And I started listening to Jason Meadows' podcast, and he had a guest on there by the name of Jeff Ditzenberger. And Jeff is a guy that lives up in by Monroe, Wisconsin. He's a farmer, and he tells this story. He tried to take his own life by going into a house, lighting on a fire. He was going to burn himself up.
Whoa.
He was in the house while it was burning and decided that's just probably not the best idea, so he gets out of the house.
Yep.
Well, Jeff got charged with a felony. He was a volunteer firefighter as well.
Really?
And he got charged with a felony for that, and anyways, he's telling a story, and he kind of goes through his story of all the times he got through depression, yada, yada, and how he came to be a mental health advocate. He started an organization called TUGS, which stands for Talking, Understanding, Growing, and Support. And he teaches a lot of stuff called QPR, which is QPR is for the mind. Like CPR is for your heart. QPR stands for Question, Persuade, and Recommend. So, it teaches you how to deal with a suicidal party or how to get people into help. It doesn't teach you how to fix that person, just to recognize the dangers. Someone needs help. So anyways, I listened to his podcast, and something about that really struck me. So I messaged him and talked to him, and we started kind of going back and forth. And he first thing that spooked me is he says, "Who's the 49er fan?" Like, oh, man, he's going to be some hater or something like that. So I said, I am. So it turns out we had a ton of – we both had been in the military, both had, you know, lots of in common. Started talking to him and started talking to Jason Meadows more. And Jason had a blog. And I always joke with Jason because I thought blogging was just something women did. I didn't realize that men actually blog.
Touche. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. And I had written a few articles through a couple of online publications, and they got published. And I kind of just found out that – it felt really good to write. It kind of was a way just to pour your feelings out on the paper. So I just fired up a blog and figured, you know what, I'm going to start writing stuff. I kind of looked at Jeff and thought, I learned so much from his experience. Maybe someone could get better by hearing my story and learning, you know, what I did. And so that's why I kind of wanted to put it out there on paper in black and white for people to read and hopefully help someone.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is interesting. I signed up for it. Like, why not?
So would you call it GPR?
QPR.
QPR.
Corey and I had a conversation, and Hank, maybe you can shed some light on how things are in your area. But Corey and I had a conversation. I think it was your aunt that called you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about the COVID-19 vaccine.
Mm, yes.
So right now, the vaccine is being rolled into the state of Iowa, and it's being distributed amongst the counties. And there's obviously not enough vaccines for the number of people that are actually wanting to get the vaccine.
Yep.
So we're tier B. Level B is now eligible. So this will timestamp the podcast. Level B is now eligible for these podcast or for these podcasts. Yeah. Hey, level B can come listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Level B is eligible for the vaccine.
Yep.
There are over 700,000 people in this level B, and Iowa right now is receiving less than 20,000 doses of the vaccine a week.
And level B is senior citizens.
Supposed to be 65 and above.
Yep.
So we've already taken care of our front line. We've already taken care of that first level A.
Mm-hmm.
That's done.
Yep.
Now we're moving into level B. So we're senior citizens, 65 and above.
Yep.
And that is, we're not keeping pace. Yep. But even more, like you learned from your aunt, Corey, there's a lot more confusion than there is vaccine.
I think the biggest problem is, and she kind of called in a tizzy, because a lot of us have elderly and grandparents and things that, you know, we're supposed to be taking care of and that kind of stuff. And it's almost just a lack of expectations they didn't mold their expectations. What I told her that she was mad because my grandparents were getting upset, or maybe not my grandparents, but a lot of grandparents were getting upset that, well, they were hearing that from their friend that one of their grandkids or their sons or daughters signed them up for the vaccine. Well, then they go onto the website and the website's melting down because so many people are trying to get signed up.
True.
I didn't even know there was a website.
Exactly.
Well, you wouldn't be able to go there anyway. It's been down 3 days this week.
Stuff happens. So, yeah, it's down almost every day because it's getting just melted down. It's a typical government, problem trying to melt this down. But anyway, what I tried to spin it was we should just be happy that we have a vaccine and that we're getting to that point and that they have a light at the end of the tunnel, but they're just so fed up.
And there's two different vaccines. So there's one vaccine. I don't know if you know this, Hank.
There's three here pretty quick.
Now there's third, yeah.
Right now there's two, and one has to be stored at like negative 172 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's a made-up number. I just know that it's super cold, and a lot of these rural communities can't.
Yep.
They just don't have the capacity to do that.
Pfizer vaccine. Yep. And then there's the one that starts with the M, Moderna. And that one can be kept in a normal freezer, but it's still two shots. There's a third one coming out from Johnson & Johnson.
That's a one shot.
And where I got this information is from the Secretary of Ag, where I'm quoting this from. The third one, Johnson & Johnson, is supposed to come out in February here. And in February, it's only a one shot deal, and it can be stored in a fridge.
Oh, great.
So it's going to make advancements to where it's a one-shot deal. You're done. You don't need two. They mentioned that that by July, they think everybody in the U.S. will be vaccinated.
That wants to be.
I haven't even put a thought to this. Have you guys, maybe listeners, when you mentioned like all the vaccines out, I haven't even thought about getting vaccinated yet. I just figured.
We're eligible. We're podcast hosts.
Yeah.
We're front line. I think,
Hank, you qualify too now that you've been on a podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
So how are things in your area?
It's hard to say. The same thing, they're trying to hit all the elderly first, and then I go back and forth because living with asthma, the doctors highly recommend getting the COVID. Mm-hmm. But, you go on social media and you read all these horrible stories, but then you hear all these great stories. So I think I'm leaning more towards I would probably get the vaccine because I don't want to risk making my lungs any worse than they already are.
Yep.
But my wife has no one. She doesn't want to get it because she's a pretty healthy young person, and it's probably pretty survivable for her if she was to get it, kind of thing. But it's the same thing. It's just like the mask debate. Half the people want it, half the people don't want it.
Yeah.
And we can't just agree. You have to call each other names. unfollow people and block people.
A whole nother category.
Yeah.
So the other thing that came out of this conversation that Corey and I had is something that we see in the banking world all the time, and it's elder abuse. We call it elder abuse, and it's not physical abuse, but it's elders getting taken advantage of with that phone call that said their grandson is in jail, and they have to send $20,000 to this wiring address, and they have to do that before midnight, otherwise the kid will never get out of jail again, and they're taken for $20,000. It's a susceptible demographic. But that's the same thing. Right now, if you're listening to us and you have a grandma and grandpa or you have a parent, call them and check in and make sure that they understand, according to the medical professionals in our area, nobody should have to give anything more than your name and your birth date over the phone in order to sign up for this.
Yeah. How did we become such a susceptible society?
Yeah. Don't send your driver's license.
Or that demographic. I mean, like it.
You have to realize, though, they have if you're 80, 90 years old, they have never had the technology
that
we had. So they're trying to catch up. But it's also like it's our turn to take care of them, like if it was your kid. If it was your kid and they needed a vaccine, you would be trying to figure out how to get it for them, right?
At least figure out how to do it, right.
Or how, what, where, why. But then somehow on the opposite side, we're not doing that.
And it is, yeah. And they're just so susceptible because of the lack of contact. I mean, that's all that's done. And I shouldn't say all. One of the factors of the coronavirus is it's quarantined that demographic. And they've had a lot less contact than they normally did, which was probably even a limited amount to begin with.
Yeah.
And so, yes, just please give them a call and say hello and make sure that they understand that don't give out more information than you need to. If someone calls or sends you an email, it's probably spam. It's just a bunch of scam artists trying to get this thing together. So I think now I'm ready to jump off my soapbox and try another beer.
Yeah.
But that's our PSA.
Yeah. I get it. Though we have become a susceptible society, but like that demographic is particularly susceptible.
So why don't we grab the Pilsner, the Bavarian style pils. Again, this is Paulaner. It's out of Munich, Germany.
It almost looks like a Miller Lite.
Thank you to Dole Distributing. Dole Distributing hooked us up with these four beers. So yeah, it's a prelude. We do have one more to try after this, gentlemen and listeners. The Paulaner Pils.
Nope.
Ready to go, Hank?
Let's try it.
Nope.
Yeah. I'm gonna give Dave the can because he already doesn't like it.
Mercy would be the word.
I think my taste buds are just shot.
Too sharp for me. I don't know what ALU stands for.
Well, that is sharp.
Sharp. Sharp's the word.
Yeah. It's dry.
Sharp and dry.
Mm-hmm. Sharp and dry. It's also...
But it's still, like, it's not, there's no hops.
Nope.
I don't think there must not be hops.
What is Bavarian?
Bavarian.
Like Bavarian cream pie, right?
That's, right.
That's that cream that they put in the donuts.
Bavarian style pils. Hmm. 1634, since 1634, brewed in Germany.
That's not a bad beer. It's not my favorite one out of the three. It's not
my favorite one.
The first one was good.
You missed your mic.
I was going to say, what happened to the mic?
The first one was good.
Yeah, it got a little bit more of an aftertaste than the others for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of it leaves your mouth a little dusty.
Dusty, that's good.
Are you typically a beer connoisseur, or do you like something else, or not?
Yeah, so I'm one of those, like, I can't drink light beer, like Bud Light or Coors Light anymore, because after drinking so much craft beer, that stuff is just horrible to drink.
Yeah.
So if I go to a wedding and they're like, we have, you know, Bud Light, that's it. I'm like, all right, well, what kind of water do you have?
Sparkling. Gold.
Yeah. So it's Omaha has a lot of nice microbreweries in that. So you get really spoiled drinking these craft beers, and then it's hard to drink light beer anymore.
Yeah, I've been to Omaha for the FBN conference a couple mm-hmm. times, and they do have a really pretty nice nightlife. At, you know, bunch of options and fun.
What is that, the Quest Center? Or no, now it's the CenturyLink Center?
Been there.
Mm-hmm.
No, here's what's the bad part is the hospital bought the name. So it's like CHI Center.
What was it before that? It's right next to the airport, right?
I thought it was Quest.
Yeah, Quest, and then it was... It was something else. I always just still call it the Quest Center, but
I went to see Brad Paisley play there when Taylor Swift was the first opener.
Oh.
The first, she wasn't even on the ticket.
Oh, wow.
She opened.
Man, wow. You're old.
You are old. Or snuck in young.
Uh-huh. Well, I think, Hank, you picked a great time to be an advocate, not to monopolize on COVID, but I've seen, even in like my local church group, they're like every week. I don't like to hang out with negative people, so I try not to. Not to say that I shouldn't. I just it brings down my mood, so I try to bring up the energy.
Is that why you hang out with us?
That's what I'll tell you. So bring the energy up. But with that, even in certain groups I've been in, people just COVID and this is so bad and this, and I always try to, you know, glass half full, not glass half empty, but there are a lot of people out there right now that are. So what a great time to take what you did and not monopolize on it, but assist.
Yeah.
So what's the future for Hank?
Probably some book signings and some movie tours.
I like this.
I don't know. I kind of toss around some ideas. I really like one of the bigger dreams would be to learn to become a QPR instructor and maybe go out to rural fire departments and police departments and teach this QPR to those places. And having and learning about agriculture would really help me relate to small fire departments that are in agricultural communities. Here's how, you know, teach the firemen, you know, here's how you're going to deal with this farmer or what to look out for, and have some substance behind what I'm saying is a little bit of knowledge and not just some guy from the city that took a 2-hour class and now he's an expert kind of thing.
There's not a lot of training.
That's
in fire
what I would like to do.
That's
no,
cool.
There's not. You know,
I don't remember any training on mental health. I mean, some, but not. You know, we more train on fires, of course, and EMS and hazmat and other stuff, but not that. And I wasn't kidding. You could even train guys that before they sell guns, and that could be an entire career, legitimately. You know, to go out and help them recognize and keep us all safe. What a cool thing.
And half the problem with a lot of these like wrongful death suits with police officers and people having a medical emergency, basically a mental health breakdown or something else, possibly could be avoided if they had someone trained in the mental health department, right? Like a firefighter or even a police officer that was designated on the force, right?
Yeah, there's kind of two aspects. You need to watch out for each other, and the goal would be to teach firemen or cops how to watch out for each other to see, you know, your buddy hasn't been around the fire station in a few weeks. Why? What's going on? Is he just busy harvesting, or did he have a call that really screwed him up and you need to get out there and help the guy? And then also dealing with the patients, you know, Sarpy County is the county I live in here in Nebraska, and they are actually starting a mental health court. A court to deal with people that have mental health issues that shouldn't be just locked up because they broke the law. So it's starting to come around that, hey, these people need to be dealt with a little differently and training people how to deal with them, not just cuff them and stuff them kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes into the whole part of last summer was about, you know, the police, police department. Maybe they need more training on how, you know, there was an incident in Omaha a while back where a guy had, there was something mentally wrong with the guy. I can't remember what it was. But anyways, it didn't get handled well. And the guy ended up getting tased so many times he died. And it was in the news and everything. And that was one of those, had they had some better training, how to deal with someone with a mental issue, that probably could have saved their life. And then the police department's not getting sued. You're not in the media. And that cop, what's that cop go through? So there's a long ways to go to a lot of stuff that needs to be done. Training wise. And then on top of that, just a reason I like to do it on Twitter is we got to break down the stigma of no one wants to talk about mental health. It's always something where someone wants to change the subject real quick because we're not comfortable talking about it. We need to get more open, letting people know it's okay to say you're not feeling well or you need some help and not trying to hide that and bury our feelings. Just like farmers and firemen and cops, you got to be tough, right?
Right, and that's kind of the reason we put Leslie Ray Kelly on our derecho episode. After that large storm went through our area, we knew that, you know, there's going to be that thought running through a lot of our listeners' brains that what's next? You know, when you don't know, sometimes that's the lowest part, and that's a huge opportunity to get a good and solid message across. So I also saw, I think you put a post out on Twitter that you get to speak at, is it the Nebraska Power Farm Show or... Don't you have a speaking engagement coming up?
Well, that was more of just like a stunt that we came up with. So the ag...
Well, you got me good.
I am going down there. I'm going to go spend 3 days down there just walking around. And I was working with Quentin Keneally and a couple of people. I come up with this idea. I said, let's make a flyer that makes it look like I'm a, you know, true special guest. But the idea is to get people out there, come up and talk to me, and we can start talking about the difference between agricultural and city life and mental health, and, you know, hopefully spread some information around. And so I'm going to spend the 3 days down there, but it's not sanctioned by the event.
So when is that show?
That is February, I think, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So you guys are just going to get together and make some TikToks.
I think Quentin's going to hang out with me, I know, at least one day. And I've had a few people respond to that tweet about, hey, we'll meet you down there kind of thing. So hoping to get out and meet some people that I talk to online all the time and meet some face-to-face. And
so if you're listening to this today, Monday.
If you caught this on Monday or early Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're going to be at the Power Farming Show in Des Moines.
Yep.
On Tuesday.
The Iowa Ag Expo. They changed their name. Iowa Ag Expo now.
You get it. The Iowa Power Farming Show.
And this is, I'm waiting to see how many people show up. So they decided to have this via COVID.
But if you are listening, not to interrupt you, I am interrupting you. If you do hear this on Monday or you hear it early enough Tuesday morning, come down and see us because we already have a group of listeners that are going to try and get together. Mm-hmm. Send me an email. All the Farm for Profit emails come to my phone. So if you're down there, send us a message. Tag us on social media. All of us are going to see that. We'd love to meet you as a listener. We also have an idea for an after show gathering. So
Quentin's going to be there.
Yep, that's true. Q. Yep, Q will be there.
That was definitely to interrupt you.
Definitely. Definitely. So TikTok it is.
I got to pee.
So
is that a problem?
No.
You can take a break.
So yeah, I normally when I have to pee, Hank, everybody else has to pee. I don't know if you've caught on to that or not. So why don't we pause here for a couple of minutes, take a little break, come back, finish that last beer, and wrap her up.
All right.
Oh my.
That was intense.
That is one of the best sounds, I think.
This is the one that I think we've all been waiting for.
I saved it till the end.
Even Hank.
So yes, as we get ready to try this last beer, Hank, thank you for joining us. This has been a pleasure. I can't wait to dive deeper into the stuff that you put out on social media in the future, knowing that there's a motive and a calculated post and just the sheer enjoyment aspect of that. But before we dive into that, Dave, I had a question for you. So I saw on Twitter that Jake Hopwood, so he's Jake from the Sale Barn. So not Jake from State Farm.
Not Jake from Grain Farm.
Not Jake from Grain Farm. It's Jake from the Sale Barn. And he was asking for items that he could take to an auction competition to auction off. So I want to know, what is the most unique or the most fun thing that you have auctioned off in your career?
That's a good one. Did I totally miss that tweet? Because was it directed at me?
No, it was not. No, it was not directed at you. He basically was putting it out there and people were offering up stinky shoes and a new necklace and a whatever it is. What is the coolest thing that you've auctioned off, whether it was for a competition or you actually got to do it at a sale?
Well, I'll go competition route first because I've been, I think, in 30 competitions now plus. So I like the competitive world. And everybody always brings the same thing to competitive world. They bring a toy tratter. Always, always bring a toy tratter. Somebody, because it's easy to describe it. It's 1/16 scale made by Ertl, just like the real thing, only smaller. So, you know, 40-20, drop the plow, here we go. So everybody can make a good pitch to a toy tratter. Then, so I started bringing something. It's all guys. It's all cowboy guys most of the time or manly men. So I started bringing Victoria's Secret stuff to auction competitions because there's always ladies at the competition and they have bought enough tratters all the time. And a lot of the competitions happen around Valentine's Day. So I get it both for the guys to buy it for their ladies or for the girls. And it draws the attention of the crowd. So if you're in an auction competition, you want to be the one that's remembered.
That's true.
Just like anything. Who's that guy in the pink suit? Like, what? Who is that guy? That guy. So you want to stand out but still look professional. How do you do that? If you can sales pitch Victoria's Secrets to a bunch of cowboys, you're pretty dang good salesman. Okay, so you get the salesman points, you get the standout points, and they'll remember you.
So you're saying the most fun thing that you've auctioned off in a competition is some Victoria's Secret lingerie.
Well, a gift card at least.
Come on. But
if you can word it however you want, as ladies, you can buy this,
I thought
that.
You were bringing some butt floss in.
No,
or something.
No. Can't say that I did that.
Okay, what about real life?
Real life. Airplanes are fun to auction off.
Oh, I forgot you did that.
Yeah. It's just a different dynamic. Anytime you get into millions, so million-dollar properties, millions, anything is always fun by the numbers. But they're more serious, so that's not nearly as fun. I think some of the most fun I've had at a charity is when we auction off, actually right here in Huxley where we record the studio, auctioned off a rock once. And the crowd so got into it. It was a rock for Ballard Education Foundation. And, you know, everyone's like, how much is this rock going to go for? And it was more fun because the whole crowd was involved. I think we got to $1,500. I don't think the guy who bought the rock was happy that his wife bought the rock. And
what was like a landscaping rock? Or
It was just a rock that said Athletic Club.
Gotcha.
And that one was fun just because the entire crowd was getting into it. And they saw the guy wanted to bid. So everybody else kept bidding. And everybody, you know, just a rock. The one that, you know,
people. Purely just a stupid reason to donate.
And then they made a video of him pulling the rock around in his little red wagon the next year. It was just fun.
I remember one of the fundraisers, you auctioned off like two or three puppies.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. So some of the things that Jake from the sale barn got was a 2005 Crown Vic. How about a one nutted boar? swag. It was a farm hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A pair of cats. Kid friendly is what they said. He said you couldn't do spouses, so they asked if you could do ex-spouses.
Oh.
golf cart, so on and so forth. But that ag swag, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, have you ever done one of those dates, like auctioned off someone for a date?
I have, yeah. It's the best bar favor, too. I was in the Minneapolis airport, and this gal said, what do you do? I said, I'm an auctioneer. She said, oh, can you sell something? And I said, sure, jump up in the bar. And she did. And she jumped off, and like the whole bar, I had their attention, because this lady standing like, let's auction her off.
Oh, boy.
And it was... you know, it was pretty fun in the airport while we were laid over.
So Corey and I last week went live on TikTok and had a couple of people in that live. And we came up with the idea. Maybe I shouldn't even say this on recording because we haven't run it past Dave yet. But I think we should grab ag swag. What do you think about this, Hank? What if we grabbed stuff from...
Everybody.
Growing Corn 2020 and stuff from Aaron Holbert.
Manure Mafia.
Manure Mafia, Q, Keneally. I mean... Basically, friends of the podcast and part of our network. What if we grabbed ag swag and put that out there in an auction? Maybe you do some live cry on the top items. Maybe we do
live virtual.
Yeah, yeah. Do a couple of pre-bidding weeks, and then the top bidding items, you do live cry.
Gotta figure out how to live stream that on TikTok.
That would be fun. What, Hank, what do you think? Do you think that'd be a good fundraiser? We could pick some place to send that to.
Oh, yeah. People love... hats and shirts, anything ad related and company related. That would be a great idea. It'd be a great way to make some money. It'd be fun. It'd be a good time.
Well, I think we could send some of it out to Farming TBI Dad, to Travis Burkhart Foundation. There might be a couple others that we could send to too.
So. Might be able to hook up with Hank here and get some pointed in the direction of helping with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good idea. So listener here, we're going to do this. You're going to hold us accountable, listener and Hank. If you have something that you'd like to put in this auction, if you've got a farm sweatshirt, if you have a farm logo or a hat.
4020, whatever.
Yeah, Grandpa's 4020.
Okay. Hey, Tractor Zoom gave one away. I mean, there might be somebody out there.
That's true.
Chuck maybe wants to give us his.
Don't set the bar too low. You're right. Good point.
Yeah.
But yes, reach out. FarmForProfitLLC@gmail.com or on social media. We're going to start promoting the crap out of this.
It is tax season. They might need a write-off.
Now,
what should we put for some dates on this thing?
I say it's got to be – we got to have commitments by the middle of February, and we will try to have the auction before the end of February.
We got to build some listeners first. Fast. We need to get this out farther.
Is that too fast for you?
Not too fast for me. I'm a pretty fast guy. But I'm telling you, I think we need more time to get donations and get them to ship it here.
What if you take donations to the end of February?
I think so.
And then you auction off
March sometime? Then we got to get everybody signed up to come to pay to play.
Right.
See, and it's not just – charity auctions are not just getting the items. Everybody's like, oh, we got 40,000 items. Great. Who do we have to buy them?
Right.
So we need all of the egg community to buy them. So not only send us your stuff if you have swag, listen in to buy the cool swag.
Actually, stay tuned for instructions because I think I just whistled into the mic. Stay tuned for instructions.
I thought it was Mary Poppins there.
Don't send it to us. I mean, send it to us, that's great, but we might be able to hook you up with the buyer and maybe you can send it directly to them. And that way size doesn't matter.
Customized.
You but get, then, get but to then size we have that to have fits them you.
Accountable. They have that's to do true. It.
We're going
to
need your bank assistant on this. We need an accountant. I can already see. Did you see the problems Tony Reed was having already trying to figure this out? We better have logistics figured out before his wife takes over for us.
All right, we got a little bit of work to do.
Speaking of Tony, everyone or a lot of people that come on this podcast start their own.
Royce John started his own.
So Tony just started his podcast. So go over and give Tony a listen. Straightforward Farming on Spotify. And I think he's going
to
be on
be soon iTunes.
iTunes.
That was one of your rants before. Everybody's got
everybody has a podcast.
Yeah, we just, Farm Journal just put one out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But now Hank will probably be putting one out on mental health along with his blog.
I don't have the face for a podcast.
No, you don't need a face for a podcast. Yeah, but the only reason, okay, Tony's podcast is good. You can go over there, but you have to come back.
Yeah.
Don't go over there and leave us
behind. I haven't been there yet. I've been wanting to, but I haven't had
time. It's pretty good. I actually reached out to him and I was like, okay, give it to me straight. Was that your actual first recording? It was like an hour and 20 minutes long. But he said, yeah, he said that was the first one. I said, that had really good flow. They talked about like tractors and tractor pulling and stuff like that and stuff that I'm not deeply into, but I enjoy and respect. And so it was very interesting to me.
Yeah. All right, let's taste our last beer. And this, and I tortured Hank because I asked him what he thought his favorite one was going to be before we even started, and it was this one. So again, Polliner out of Munich, Germany. Thank you to Dole Distributing. And this is a grapefruit Radler. I don't think you got to do any more description besides that. A grapefruit Radler. Yeah,
it's like pink.
You know, as you guys are trying that, I'm thinking, like all the vendors, Dole Distributing has helped us out with this. Maybe we get them to donate beer to send to everybody, like Dave's Worst Beer, auction off this item, Dave's Best Beer, something like that. And any vendors, good. You know, maybe Flying Egg, point. Other yep. people that we've had, Egg Solver, everybody. I mean, man, yep. you know, if you're a vendor listening to this and you work for John Deere and want to donate yeah, a
hit
combine.
Hit us up for that.
We will have more that, details. I'll make sure my wife gets some. Sorry, go ahead, Hank.
I said that Pint 9 that you guys did the other week.
Yes.
That's about 10-minute drive from our house here.
Ooh. And those guys reached out. Real close. That was some darn good beer also.
Yep.
All right, bottoms up. The Radler.
I already had some.
Grapefruity.
That is. I need to be on a pontoon drinking this.
That's one of my favorite Radlers. That is a very smooth.
Wow.
What are Radlers supposed to taste like?
This?
Sweet.
I don't know that it's sweeter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a summertime
I'm not throwing
feel.
Back multiple ones of these, but it just makes me feel like it should be hot and on a lake.
Yeah, not watching snowmobiles drive by.
Sammy would like this.
Sammy would.
Who's Sammy?
Friend of the pod.
Oh, yeah.
Not of yours.
I thought it was your
super.
Didn't make sure I knew your kid's name yes. or something with Sammy. I want to make sure.
So, it's not. I'm trying not to be a downer, you know, because mental health it's a tough subject, right? That's why no one wants to talk about it. We're sitting here trying to have a fun podcast and we're trying to, you know, kind of talk about it, but it needs to be talked about.
Yeah. I'm still having fun.
So someone's, you know, if someone's sitting at the farm right now and, you know, maybe they're not having as big of issues as they did last year because it's $5 corn or whatever, but you know, stuff happens to everybody.
I would argue that there might be some in the instance to where it could be worse. They yeah. sold early.
They sold early.
And now they feel like they're missing out.
Good insurance, and it all got destroyed by the derecho.
It could. There's probably all across the spectrum.
So someone's sitting there now and having issues, like, what is the first step, or what is the first signs of it? Like, what do you suggest should happen?
Usually, it starts off with, if it's your friend, and if someone messages you every day or every couple of days, and all of a sudden you know you haven't heard from that guy in a while, right? It's been a week. Usually, you know your friend's good enough to know when something is off mm-hmm. with someone. Something doesn't seem right. And the best thing to do is just flat out ask them, hey, are you okay? Is there something I can do? Do you want to talk? There's a story I heard that was told on another podcast where a farmer calls up another farmer and asks him, hey, I need some help at my farm. Can you come over and help me? And the guy telling the story was, I knew that wasn't normal. That was out of character for him to ask for help. I knew something was wrong. So go over and help him. And I sit him down. And I said, tell me what's wrong. And the guy just starts opening up. This is going on. That's going on. Blah, 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 blah. So they sat there for a couple hours just talking. And the next morning, the farmer calls up and says, you know what? You encouraged me to go get more help. I'm going to make the phone call. I'm going to go see a doctor. I'm going to fix this. And it, that was probably the pivotal moment where, had that conversation not happened, that guy might have went the other way. So that's just the number one thing, is don't be afraid to ask. You know, I'd rather ask you if you're okay and you be mad at me for asking you than not ask you and then read about your name in the newspaper the next day.
Because that's what happens when I ask my wife if she's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that. I'm fine.
Fine. That's the
fine.
Fine. Fine. I don't know. Fine. Not ever. Fine.
Did you have a good day? Why? Well, I'm sorry.
So switch positions. Okay, Dave.
When Dave. She says, I'm mad, don't say still or again.
Still or again.
So switch positions instead of being the friend and asking them why. What if you're the person sitting there feeling that way? What resources, what should you be doing? You know, is it a friend you should be reaching out to ask that you need help? Is it a doctor? Is there programs?
You know, one of the hardest things is to talk to family. Everyone says, you know, talk to your family. But the thing about mental health is a lot of times you're afraid of letting someone down. And you don't want to tell your wife that you're hurting because you don't want her to be disappointed in you, or your dad. You know, it's hard to go to your dad. Hey, Dad, I don't feel right. You know, and you, especially if your dad's a tough person. You know, just suck it up, buttercup.
Mm-hmm.
So reach out to a friend that you can that you know will listen to you. If you don't have a friend, then always, you know, call a doctor and then reach out online, and you can just search, you know, mental health. And there's all sorts of a good one is from your cell phone. You can dial 211. And they help with all sorts of crises, not just mental health. But if someone's being abused, or, you know, there's all sorts of stuff to do. There is a national suicide hotline you can call if you're to that point where, you know, but if you're just kind of questioning how you don't feel right, talk to a friend. And if not, get a hold of a doctor. The problem I have with the doctors is they're so quick to just slap you on medicine.
Yeah,
that's true.
I had a problem where my testosterone had tanked. It was down low, and I was just exhausted. And I go to the doctor, and they have you fill out a little questionnaire. Well, do you feel tired? Do you feel sad? Do you feel not motivated? So I answer yes, because I had felt this stuff. They come in like, you're suffering from depression. I said, no, I don't have depression. I feel fine mentally. I just feel physically exhausted. Well, then they test the blood work, and they come back, oh, sorry, it was a low testosterone.
Sorry.
But they're ready to label me as, you know, something seriously wrong with me. And I'm like, no. So that's why doctors are good to get you help, but I just leery of them.
Yeah. I have seen some cases, though, on TikTok or other that where medicine was the case, and then people get on it and were like, how did I go the last 10 years without it? You know, type of stuff. And
are you on TikTok, Hank?
Yeah.
I just did a hashtag mental wellness, and there's like 380 million views.
And then there was a mental health awareness. And 3.7 billion.
Yeah, like hashtag for that. So there's a lot. There are people talking about this. It's just, yeah. I guess you got to search for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing about mental health. There's kind of three aspects. You can have a mental health and it be a chemical or physical thing with you that medicine will help. And then you get on the medicine, you feel fine. Then there's kind of your situational, like you're normally a good person, but you lost your farm, and that can put you into a depression. But also the other part of mental health is, you know, when you go to the gym to work out, you're taking care of your physical health, right? You need to do the same thing with your mental health. Mental health just doesn't mean something bad. It means taking care of yourself, keeping yourself in a good state, not listening to negative things, staying on the positive side. That is also an aspect of mental health that we never talk about. We always essentially mental health as something negative, but it can be positive.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. And that's kind of one of the reasons we had wanted you on this podcast, Hank, is, you know, not only are you funny on social media and can be uplifting, a really good follow. So if a listener, you want to go follow him, it's at Henry68157. I believe that's the Omaha zip code, correct, Hank?
Yes, that's the zip code we live in.
So you can find Hank there too, but... So other than that, Hank, really appreciate all the content that you put out there and your mission to help everybody else, you know, just spreading the word about that too. Before we close out today, is there anything else that you'd like to chat about?
I would just like to say, well, a big thank you to the agriculture community. They've taken me under the wing and really helped me out. And that's been great. I've made a lot of new friends. And it's been great to realize that the agriculture community is not just farmers, that it's, you know, here I am just a city guy, and I get to be involved with mental health discussions and agriculture and learning about stuff. So it really helps to show that farmers not only care about the land or their family, but they care about people in general. It's just the whole agricultural community itself is very open, warm, and inviting and welcoming. And I've just made some, you know, a lot of times I tell people, if it hadn't been for finding the agriculture people like Jason Meadows and Quentin Keneally and Jason Ditzenberg or Jeff Ditzenberg and these guys, I don't know where I'd be at today, to tell you the truth. I hate to think about if I'd even be alive, you know. But those guys opened up to me and helped me out, and we've become solid, good friends. And you don't get that. That's kind of one of the reasons I was in the computer world and then left the computer world, because I don't do a lot of video games. And those people there, it's just not the same. There's just something so warm about the agriculture community. And it really, I really do care about all of them, and I'd like to help them out as much as possible.
It's kind of nice, someone coming back from the city and enjoying ag instead of, you know, we're always trying to tell our story because a lot of times people don't care, or, you know, right, and they make assumptions about what we're doing, but don't care to come back and relate it to us. So it's kind of neat to see you come back to us and use us as a resource.
Yeah, I agree. And that's
actually,
go ahead.
I was just saying, that's one thing that I try to preach about is, I'll see a lot of the ag vocates, you know, out there preaching for the agricultural world. But it's hard for some of us city folk when we get lumped in with the people that do hate the farmers. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the activists out there that want to do away with the cows and the farming, and I don't know what they want to eat, but whatever. there are a lot of us in the city that love the farmers and understand the farmers. But then there's a lot of people that respect what you do. They don't know what you do, but they realize that without you guys, there would be no food. Mm-hmm. And yes, we don't always say it. So yes, in the city, there are people that don't like you, but there are people that love you and people respect you. So I try to get that out more, that there are those of us that not everyone in the city hates farmers.
Yep. And sometimes the smallest sliver is the loudest. So, I mean, that's what gets reverberated through sometimes, and that's what we hear. So it's good to hear the positive side.
Well, Hank, I hope you had a lot of fun. We certainly had a lot of fun here with you joining us. Now you got a couple of beers that you can finish out and enjoy this evening with your wife. Hopefully her day wrapped up quite nicely. We understand, too, that you've got someplace to be this evening, so we hope your evening go as planned the rest of the night. And again, listeners, if you want to follow Hank at Henry68157 on Twitter, what's your handle if they want to follow you on TikTok?
It's the exact same.
I think it's the same thing.
All right. Smart man. I like that. I like when everything's set up the same way. So yes, at Henry68157. I had a lot of fun. What do you think, Dave?
I think it's time for Corey to sign us out with Munich Beer, I guess, and Dole Distributing.
Yep. Crack a paw on our beer, mix a drink. You deserve it.
Oh, you only love me for my big sunglasses and my Tony Lomas. I live in Oklahoma and I've got long, blonde hair. And I play guitar and I go on the road and I do all the shit you want to do. And my dog does tricks. And I ain't about drama, y'all.